all that God has for them as well. But let's go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17 as we continue our sermon series, Detox, today. Excited about what God is going to speak to us and what he is going to help us to see. Last week, we dealt with our hearts and what's on the inside of us and also what's happening on the outside of us. But today, I want to talk about how we need to detox from some things that are behind us. Our past. I want to lean into that a little bit. Because for some of us, you got a handle on some things in the present. But if you're honest, it's some things from your past that are holding you back. But in the name of Jesus, we're believing that tonight is going to be a day where we get detoxed of that. Amen? So we're going to go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. Verse 13. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man, but I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. I feel something on that. There ain't no other God except God. Come on. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 13, let's go back to it. Even though I was formerly, everybody say formerly, a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man, but I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Last week, I preached a sermon called That's Gotta Go. Week one, the first week, we called it This Has to Go. Today is a continuation of last week, That's Gotta Go. I'm calling it That's Gotta Go Part Two, but I want to specifically say that's behind me now. Can you tell the person beside you, tell them, hey, neighbor, this is the year that it stays behind you. Find somebody else across the room. Say, hey, neighbor, that's behind me now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would give us wisdom, give us insight, give us understanding. Help us to understand your will, your word, and your way. I pray, God, that you would prick our hearts, no matter if we're watching online, no matter if we're in this place. Would you do a new thing on the inside of us? In Jesus' name, and everybody who's believing for breakthrough this year and in this word said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can go to your seat. That's behind me now. Church family, I want to begin by asking this question for those of us who are watching online and in the house today. Have you ever noticed while driving or riding in the car that the front windshield of your vehicle is much larger than the rear view mirror? Have you ever noticed that what's in front of you and what's meant to give you sight, what's in front of you, things that are coming before you, is much larger than the mirror that hangs from the roof of your car or the vehicle that you ride in that's designed to help you see things behind you? If you notice that the windshield is wide, the windshield is large, it's designed to help you see where you're going. However, the rear view mirror is significantly smaller in nature. It's limited. Why? Because it is meant for quick glances, not long stares. And manufacturers of all vehicles and cars specifically do that intentionally. Why? Because you and I were never meant to drive forward while looking backwards. Because many of us know that if you spend most of your time looking in your rearview mirror while you're driving forward, you are headed for a collision or you are headed for a crash of some sort. And many of us understand that in the natural. But can I submit a question for all of our consideration today? How many of us in this place or watching online are trying to pursue what's in front of us while giving our attention to what's behind us. I wonder how many of us this year have already begun to look in the rearview mirror of 2025. And maybe it wasn't 2025, but you're still looking at 2024 and you're still looking at the year 2020. Or maybe you've gone back to the mid 90s and you're still looking at the 80s and the 70s and the 60s. And we got some 50s in here as well. Maybe for some of us, instead of looking ahead, we find ourselves looking in the rear. I want to suggest, and I want you to write this down and get this in your heart from the outset, that many people's lives are crashing out, not because they're looking in the past, but because they're living in the past. Many people's lives are crashing out and falling apart because they're spending the bulk of their life looking in their rearview mirror as opposed to looking through the front windshield. I recently came across a quote from the late C.S. Lewis, theologian. He says this: you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. I love that. He says you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. John Newton says it like this: I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I wish to be, but I am not what I once was. I love that because that sounds awfully familiar to things that I heard growing up at my home church, Gethsemane Baptist Church, and I heard some of the older saints say, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I once was. And I believe that here at the end of 21 days of prayer and fasting that I got a few people in here that got a testimony, like some of my spiritual and church family back at my home church, Gethsemane Baptist Church, that got a similar story that can say, Pastor Edwin, I may not be where I want to be, but when I look back over my life, I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. God has been good to me. God has done some great things for me in my life. And I believe that sentiment and that statement resonates so much with what we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in this text, the Apostle Paul is writing to his young pupil and his young protege, who was also a pastor in a city called Ephesus. His name is Timothy. Young Timothy, he's writing to Timothy, and he's given Timothy essentially some direction as to how to pastor and how to shepherd the people that God has entrusted to him. But it's interesting because as the Apostle Paul opens up his letter and as he's writing this letter, it's interesting that within the first few verses of this letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to his young protege, Timothy, he does something very unique that becomes foundational for the rest of this letter. He starts off sharing his testimony of who he used to be. Paul begins to go down the Rolodex of his past. He says in verse 13, if you look at your Bible, he says this: he was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man. And in case you need a case study on the Apostle Paul, you can actually go back to the book of Acts, because in the book of Acts, we see that the Apostle Paul had a history that wasn't pleasant. It was a history that was unpleasant. It was a history of one and of someone who was opposed to Jesus and his church, and did everything that he could to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. He approved the execution of Christians in his time. He was adamant about destroying Christian families, and he claimed even more to be doing this all in the name of God. Matter of fact, he says this in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. He says this: for you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I intensely persecuted God's church, and I tried to destroy it. Verse 14, he says this: I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. I want you to see what's happening here. Paul is saying he did not have a perfect past. He did not have a polished past. His past was dark. His past was divisive. His past was disobedient. It was a past that rejected Jesus. It was a past that went against the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says here that he was a believer in the faith known as Judaism, which steeps itself in the God of the Old Testament, who believes, and they believe that a Messiah is coming. But the problem was, when the Messiah came, they rejected him as the Messiah because they did not believe that he was, in fact, the Messiah. So Paul is essentially now giving his origin story. He's giving his past to Timothy, and he's also giving his past to us to help us understand where he came from. His past was not perfect. His past was not squeaky clean. His past was not something that was ideal. And I think if we're honest here, many of us can identify with the Apostle Paul, because I believe all of us, if we're really being honest, got a past that's not perfect. I believe all of us here, under the sound of my voice, we have some things in our past that we might not be proud of. We might not be excited about. We have some things in our past that we're ashamed of, and maybe we feel some guilt about. I'm here to let us know, myself included, that many of us who are here today, our past is filled with all kinds of things. We've done some things that we should not have done. We've gone some places that we should not have gone. We have said some things that we should not have said. We've looked at some things that we should not have looked at. All of us have done some things that have gone opposed to the will of God, which is why the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Can you look at the person beside you and tell them, I've sinned too? Come on, tell them, be honest. Come on, come on. I know they said it with a little bit of pride in there, like they didn't really mean it. Come on, tell that person, I have sinned too. I've done some things that I'm not proud of. I don't care how long you've been a member of the Bridge Church. I don't care how long you've been a part of the body of Christ. I don't care how long you've been following Jesus. You might be Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, speak in tongues, know all the scriptures. Here's what I want us all to know. All of us, myself included, got a past. Come on here. All of us got some things in our past that are not necessarily perfect. And we got some things in our past that are not necessarily clean. Come on, I'm talking to some young people in here as well, that just because you're young don't mean that you don't got a past. That there's some things that we have done that we're not proud of. There's been some things that we have done that we are ashamed of. And what becomes even more difficult than just having our past, where many people end up finding themselves, is stuck in their past, where we revisit it day and night, where we constantly come back to it, where now our identity is shaped around our past. And for some of us, it's been hard to move forward in life because of things that have been done in our lives by us. But then also, there's been some things in our life that have been done to us. And for some of us, we find ourselves living in that past and stuck in that past and not able to move forward because of our past. Some of us are here today and you're watching online, and let's be honest, we got some regrets. Some of us are carrying around some guilt right now. Some of us are ashamed of some of the things that we have done. And for some of us, even as we've talked about, it's a new year and it's new opportunities. And ladies, I know y'all came to the vision board party this weekend and you casted a vision and all that good stuff. And some of us are like, man, that's good in one sense. But for some of us, in the back of your mind, it's like you got this little voice that's saying, but remember what you did. Some of us deal with this whole spiritual battle on the inside of our minds, where the enemy whispers things like this to us, where he say things like this: you can fool everybody else when you go to church, but we really know who you are, and we know what you've done. Many of us are wrestling with a lot of things on the inside of us that cause us to feel a sense of shame, that cause us to feel a sense of regret and remorse, and it paralyzes us. Many of us, and many people watching online, many people right now, family, are paralyzed by their past. And if you're here today and you feel like you can't move forward in spite of your past, I'm going to give you some good news based upon what we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, that in spite of our past and the past of the Apostle Paul, who was once called Saul in the Bible, before he was known as Paul, he was called Saul. Saul was almost like his BC name, before Christ's name. Saul was the one that everybody knew about. Saul was the one that everybody was afraid of. Saul was the one who had a reputation for killing Christians and giving the execution order for Christians. In spite of all the past that Paul was mentioning here, in spite of all that Paul did, here is what's so good in the midst of what he did. Jesus met him in the middle of all of his brokenness. And family, we see this in the book of Acts chapter 9. I'm going to give you a case study so you can see what the scripture says about Paul, or shall I say Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, before he became the one who God used to pen almost half of the New Testament, before he was the one that God used to plant churches all around the known world in the first century Greco-Roman context. Here's what the Bible says about Saul in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says this: now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he traveled and was nearing Damascus, watch this, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul said. "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting," he replied. Verse 6, watch what Jesus says to him. "But get up and go into the city and do, and you will be told what you must do." I want you to see what's happening here. As Saul was on his way to persecuting more Christians, as Saul was on his way to shutting down more churches, as Saul was on his way to doing more sinful things, as Saul was on his way to do things that went against the Lord's will, the Lord Jesus still showed up in the middle of the mess that he found himself making, going against the will of God and the word of God and the ways of God. Here's the principle I want you to see here that Paul, Saul, is actually helping us to see. Jesus met me in the middle of my history. Jesus met me in the middle of my mess. And it's similar to what he says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. If we go to it, here's what it says. "This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Watch what he says next. "And I am the worst of them." Here's what Paul is helping us to see. Jesus came down from heaven to earth to save people from their sin. You know who that is? You and me. Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And why is that good news, Pastor? It's good news because it means Jesus does not avoid messy people, but instead he's drawn to messy people. Jesus does not avoid messy people. No, Jesus is drawn to messy people. And if you've ever messed up, and if you've ever done some things, and if you've ever said some things, and if you've ever gone some places that you're not proud of, I'm here to give you some encouragement to let you know Jesus will meet you exactly where you are, in the middle of your sin, in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your misery. And I just want to know, is there a few people here today that can say, "I know exactly what Paul is talking about, because Jesus met me in the middle of my mess"? Some of y'all are here today and you can testify to the fact that Jesus met you in the middle of your mess. When your mind was messed up, Jesus met you there. When your heart was messed up, Jesus met you there. When your finances were messed up, Jesus met you there. And I wonder if there's a few people that can give God praise for the fact that in the middle of your mess, Jesus showed up and met you in the middle of your dysfunction. And here's what happens. Go back to verse 12. Here's what he says. "I give thanks to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry." Here's what he says. "I give thanks to Christ Jesus." Pastor, why is he saying, "I give thanks to Christ Jesus"? It's almost like Paul is saying, "I give thanks to Jesus because I remember who I was before Jesus stepped in my life. I give thanks to Jesus, because before Jesus stepped in my life, I was trifling, I was ratchet, I was deceptive, I was a liar, I was arrogant, I was prideful, I was nasty, I was messy. And I think Paul's not the only one that got a testimony like that, because if I were to run down every row in here and every person watching online, I believe you got a similar story of how Jesus met you. And that's the reason why you and I should begin to give God praise. Thank God that he met us in the middle of my mess. I give God thanks that he showed up in the middle of my mess. Thank God that we got a Savior who meets us and shows up in the middle. For some of us, he showed up to you while you were at the club. Y'all here? For some of you, he showed up while you were getting high. For some of us, he showed up while you were throwing a bottle back and getting drunk. For some of you, he showed up when you were depressed. For some of you, he showed up when you found yourself gripped by anxiety. For some of you, he showed up when you found yourself wounded by worry. For some of you, he showed up when that person who said they would never leave you nor forsake you actually left you and forsaken you. He showed up in the middle of all of that. I believe that there's some people here today that get a story about how Jesus showed up in the middle of your mess. I want you to write this down. Where Jesus meets us in, he doesn't leave us in. I'm gonna say it again. Where Jesus meets us in, he does not leave us in. Meaning this, when Jesus finds you in a place, you best believe that he plans on doing something about your life in that place. I know some of us in here, we're like, Pastor, I've messed up so many times. I've said so many things that are reckless. My past is not perfect. My past is messed up. Can I let you know Jesus specializes in turning messes into masterpieces? He majors in taking things that are messy and making something beautiful. And what we learn from Paul and his testimony, here's what we learn from Paul. Paul was not a prisoner of his past, even though his past was crazy. Y'all, Paul was killing Christians, y'all. Like, Paul would have a field day with us right now in this church prior to him becoming who he became in Christ. If he was here, if we were in his setting in his time, he would have gotten papers from Roman guards and governments and from Jewish councils to come in here to arrest us and to either have us beheaded or to have us crucified like other Christians in the first century context. That's who he used to be. Paul was messy. You thought your past was messy? His was messy. Now, I'm not trying to waste sins, but I don't know how worse you get than killing Christians. That's pretty bad. Shutting down churches, that's some next level sin right there, you know? And I wonder if that's why he says, and I'm the worst of sinners. Because I was persecuting the Lord's church. I was coming against him. But here's the good news. Because of his encounter with Jesus, his past has not defined him any longer. We saw the encounter that he had. He was literally on his way. He was going down a road called Damascus. Many of us will call that the Damascus Road. He had a Damascus Road experience. And as he's on his way to go arrest Christians, Jesus met him on the middle of that journey. And Paul, Saul, was on a horse. And the Bible says he was knocked off that horse. And a big old light from heaven shined around him. And here's what happens. He fell to his knees. And I feel like that's so important for us to recognize, because it reminds me of a scripture that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow at some point. Every knee will bow at some point. Every government leader knee will bow at some point, whether it's in this life or the next life. Every knee will bow. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. At some point, every knee will bow. Saul, he finds himself in Acts 9. He says, Lord, who are you? Jesus says, I'm Jesus, the one that you're persecuting. Jesus meets him in the middle of his road to Damascus. Many of us have, I believe, who are followers of Christ, you've had a Damascus Road experience as well, where you were on your way, living life according to your plan, and then Jesus intercepted you. Jesus met you right where you are. And it's interesting, because for somebody who has such a battered past like Paul, He's not a prisoner to it. He's not looking in the rear view any longer. He's looking ahead. Here's what he's saying. That's behind me now. I'm not that no more. And the thing that some of us need to detox from isn't just our sin. We need to detox from our past, from our yesterday, from the dysfunction of yesterday, from the disappointment of yesterday, from the decisions of yesterday, things that we have done, things that have been done to us. I want you to write this down. Detoxing God's way isn't just about letting go of old vices from your life. It's also about letting go of old versions of your life. Detoxing God's way isn't just about letting go of vices. We talked about that last week. But it's also about letting go of versions. Some of us need to detox from the old version of who you used to be. Some of us need to detox from who you were in 96. It's 2026. It's time for an upgrade. Some of us need to detox from some past relationships. Because if we're being honest, the reason why some of us can't move forward and the reason why some of us have a hard time trusting new relationships is because we're still grieving the past relationships. And I hear God saying, aren't you tired of grieving? And aren't you tired of mourning what was? Aren't you ready to begin to walk in the new thing that I have for you this year? For some of us, we need to detox from our past. Some of us, it's time for us to let go of our past. And a major reason why the Apostle Paul could be who he was and be who Jesus called him to be in spite of his past was because he continued to revisit and rest in not what he did. If you look all throughout his epistles, all 13 letters that he writes, you'll see something that he constantly says over and over. He says things like this: what Jesus did for me. I'm in Christ now. I'm with Christ. Here was his emphasis. He was more focused not on what he did. He was more focused on what Jesus had done for him. And here's the lesson. I want you to write this down. That the key to detoxing from what's behind us is recognizing what Jesus has done for us. If you want to know the secret to how you can get free from what's behind you, you need to focus on what Jesus has done for you. That instead of focusing on what you have done, you need to focus on the cross and what he's done. For some of us, we worship at literally the altar of self. We're so self-focused. We're so self-centered. And when I say self-centered, it doesn't mean, I'm not talking about you being a selfish person. But what I'm talking about is you're so fixated and you're so focused on what you have done and how you didn't cross every T and how you didn't dot every I, how you weren't perfect and how you said this and how you said that. I'm here to let you know your faith is not called Ianity. It's called Christianity. Amen. We don't focus on what we did. We focus on what he did. We don't focus on what we said. We focus on what he said, and what he said on the cross is finished. It's been paid for. It's been atoned for. And Paul left his former life behind. And I believe that there's some things that we can grab hold of from his testimony here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that I believe are beneficial to us in order for us to detox from our yesterday and leave our past behind. I want you to write this down. Number one is this. In order to leave our past behind, we need God's forgiveness. Everybody say God's forgiveness. I want you to look at verses 13 through 14 here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says this, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man, watch what he says this, but I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul, multiple times throughout this chapter and these few verses, there's a few words that keep coming up. Mercy, grace. What is grace, Pastor? It is God giving you and I what we don't deserve, which is forgiveness for our sins. But then he also says mercy. Everybody say mercy. What is mercy? It is God not giving you and I what we do deserve. What do we deserve for our sins? Judgment, wrath, and condemnation. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ Jesus. Y'all ought to be shouting about the fact that God is a but God type of God, that in spite of all that you have done, there's some mercy to cover that, and there's some grace to cover that. If we're going to leave our past behind, we need to be reminded of his grace and mercy, and that because of his grace and mercy, we receive forgiveness of sins. So in other words, here's what Paul is saying. While I was sinning, Jesus was forgiving. This mercy and grace that he speaks to, it speaks to God's forgiveness. And here's the principle that I believe Paul is helping us to understand, that there's nothing that God cannot forgive us of our sins. Others may not forgive us. Your friend may not forgive you. Your spouse may not forgive you. Your best friend may not forgive you. Your boss may not forgive you. Your children may not forgive you. Can I let you know that there is a God in heaven whose name is Jesus Christ, and he is faithful to forgive, and he is willing to forgive you for all the things that you have done and said that have been out of step with his gospel. I want you to know that in Christ Jesus, you can have forgiveness of sins. I like what Pastor Rich Velotis says. He says this: your mistakes are not too deep for God's grace. Amen. Let me just see by show of hands, how many of y'all have messed up? Okay, everybody's hands should be up. If you got to, put your feet in the air too. And some of us have been held hostage to our mistakes. And that's why we haven't been able to move forward. Can I let you know, your mistakes are not too deep for God's grace. I don't care how deep your sin runs. I don't care how deep your past is. I don't care how ugly your past is. I don't care. I'm going to get real with some of us. I don't care if people refer to you as a jump off back in the day. I'm here to let you know that there's no single amount of sin that God's grace can't cover. I'm talking to some people in here who got some past that you ain't told nobody about. I'm talking to some people in here who got some things that you tried to cover up, but yet the enemy keeps on bringing up. I'm here to let you know that there is not a single sin that God's grace can't wash over. And the reason why I believe so many people stay in bondage is because the enemy has convinced us that God can forgive that sin, but he can't forgive that one. I'm here to let you know that when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "It is finished," that means it's finished. It's been paid for. There's not a single sin that Jesus' blood cannot cover and cannot wash and cannot wash over. Pastor, where do you get this from? The Bible says this in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who is that? You and I before we come to know Jesus. Ungodly. Look good, but ungodly. Dress good, but ungodly. Have the nice hair, but ungodly. Have a nice part in the hair, but ungodly. Got all the money in the world, but ungodly. Prior to coming to know Jesus Christ, all of us were ungodly. And yet, at that time, Christ died for us. Watch verse 7. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. Some of y'all are here today, and y'all have said, "Man, I'll die for them." Would you really? Come on, I know you love God, and I know you love them. But some of y'all get real real when things get real real. I know we get real self-righteous. Oh, I would die for you. Oh, we'll find out. I'll give my life for you. Really? Not mistaking your love, but what the scripture helps us to see is very rarely will someone even lay down their life for somebody who is good, quote unquote. Watch verse 8. Here's where it gets good. But God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, come on, I know it's Saturday, but y'all ain't talking back to me. While we were still at the club, while we were still getting high, while we were still lying, while we were still doing things that we had no business doing, while we were still going astray, while we were still going against the word of God, while we were still being disobedient, come on, somebody, while we were doing things that we had no business doing, Christ died for us. I'm here to let you know that God loved you and I even when we were messing up, even when we were sinning, even when we were falling short. God still proved his love for us. Here's what 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I encourage some of us, no matter how much bad you have done, the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover it. I thought I might have a few more people who get excited about that. Maybe I need to talk about how there's a blessing coming with your name on it. Maybe you got a $1 million check coming in the mail. But where are my real people at in here that say, I don't need another check. I'm thankful for God's grace in my life and his mercy in my life. I'm thankful that Jesus paid a debt for me that I could not pay for myself. I'm thankful for the fact that he washed my sins and that he made me into a new creature. He did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. He picked me up. He turned me around. He literally placed my feet on solid ground. That ain't just a song that we sing. That's a truth that we stand on. He forgave me. And the good news is this. In spite of what we have done, God's forgiveness can cover that. I want you to write this down. God's forgiveness is greater than your faults. His forgiveness is greater than your faults. Every single person under the sound of my voice in this room, myself included, have faults. I don't care how perfect you think you are. The mere fact that you think you're perfect is called arrogance and pride. That's one of the chief sins. Amen. Every single person in here got some faults. But can I let you know, God's forgiveness is sufficient to cover that? God's grace is, in many ways, like makeup. Because you put some makeup, ladies, come on, let's be honest. Come on, don't get quiet now. You put some makeup on to cover up some blemishes. Guys, some of us might put some makeup on to cover up some blemishes. Right, because we don't want people to see certain things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Can I let you know that God's grace is even greater than that?
Hallelujah!
That he doesn't just cover our blemishes, he washes them. He cleanses them. He makes us know. His forgiveness is greater than your faults. To all my young people in here, I'm here to let you know, no matter what you've said and done, God's forgiveness is greater than your faults. Your parents might not forgive you. I'm here to let you know Jesus already has. Your friends might hold something against you. I'm here to let you know Jesus has already covered it. This is the gospel. This is why Paul was able to detox from his past, because he reflected and remembered the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus, which now leads to the second point. Not only do we need God's forgiveness to move from our past, we need God's freedom. We need his freedom. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
I want you to notice what Paul says in verse 13. And he says this over and over in so many of his epistles. He says this, even though I was formerly. I was formerly. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the room. I went to school. I didn't get perfect grades like some of us in here. Some of y'all got straight A's. I'm jealous of you. But here's what I know. Was is a past tense word. Was. It means it used to be. But it no longer is now. So he says, I was formerly a blasphemer, which speaks to this major biblical truth that is available to every person. You and I can be free from our past. Paul is saying, I was this, but I'm not that no more. I used to be that, but that's not me no more. That was my old life. I got a new life. I used to be Saul. Now I'm Paul. Brother was so bad to change his name. It's almost like God. God's like, hey, we just gonna start over with you, bro. Let's go ahead and wipe this clean. You're Paul now, not Saul. Because we got a God who specializes in changing names. He'll change your nature and he'll change your name. You look all throughout the scripture, you see this constantly. Abram went from Abram to Abraham. Sarai went from Sarai to Sarah. Jacob went from being Jacob, which was called a trickster, to now being called Israel. I'm here to let you know that God specializes in giving you a new name. You can be free from your past. Paul was not only forgiven, he was free. He wasn't just cleansed, he was made new. I want you to write this down. Jesus not only forgives us, but Jesus also frees us. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to some of us who are here today, and you've reconciled the fact that God has forgiven you of your sins. But your problem is you still remember it all the time. Yes. It's almost like God has said, hey, I've already opened up the door to your freedom, but you still want to stay in prison. Yes. Yes. You are free. Yes. Free to go. Yes. Free to walk free. Yes. Now, here's the image that just popped in my mind. It's not even part of my notes, okay? So I'm going to wrap myself out right here. All right, y'all ready? Y'all good? All right, your pastor years ago got a few speeding tickets. Don't look at me like that, because I already feel in the spirit that some of y'all did the same exact thing, okay? Let's be honest. Come on, don't look at me like this. It's cold outside. Let's be honest. Let's be real. And I remember 2004, got a speeding ticket. You ever sometimes feel like you got a speeding ticket? You're like, I won't even go in that fast. Yes. Yes. Then you try to say stuff like my joint got recalibrated. You know what I'm saying? And I remember I deserved to get whatever penalty was coming my way because I broke the law. And I remember having to go to court and stand before a judge. First time standing before a judge. I was 19 years old, scared out of my mind. Like, am I about to go to jail? Right? Oh my gosh. It's over for me. It's my freshman year in college. I was on academic probation. Everything is going downhill right now, right? Because, by the way, the reason why I was on academic probation is because I was running from the call of God on my life. And whenever you run from the call of God on your life, everything does not go up, it goes down. Some of the reason why our lives are not going up, but they're going down, is because you're running from the very thing that God has actually called you to do. That's not a part of my notes, but some of y'all need to hear that. And I remember standing before the judge. The judge asked me, hey, Mr. Jones, were you speeding? What, how do you define speed? Yes, sir. We notice that this is not your first infraction. Is it? Define first infractions. No, sir, it's not. He said, hey, we've all made mistakes. You're 19 years old. You're in college, I presume. Yes, sir. You broke the law. You know you shouldn't have broke it. No, you shouldn't have been speeding. Yes, sir. You know you should have to pay a fine. Go to driver's school. Anything else that comes your way. Yes, sir. I'm going to be lenient with you. Though you deserve this, I'm not going to allow you to have to go through this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to expunge this from your record under the hope, sir, that you will not do this again. I don't want to see you here before me again. Sir, I don't want to see you no more. That's... He says, am I clear? Yes, sir. And he says this, you are free to go and to leave the court. Now, the reason why I tell you that story is because I deserve to have to pay the penalty for that ticket. I deserve to have that on my record. But the judge, here's what he extended that day. Mercy. Grace. To let me go free. So why then should I continue to hold on to something that I have been set free from? Can I give you the spiritual interpretation of that? God has already forgiven you of your sins in Christ Jesus. You have already been made free in Jesus Christ. It is time for you now to walk in the freedom that Jesus has already made available for you. Now I can sense what some of us are asking. Pastor, did you get any more tickets? That was 2004, 22 years, I still haven't got another ticket. Hear me now. Don't think I'm propping myself up. Watch this, because it don't mean I have not broke the law. and I did not speed in 22 years. I probably sped on my way here. But God, who is rich in mercy, has covered me and has kept me. Where are my people at in here that got a but God story? That God has kept you, that his hand has been upon you, that there's been some things that should have happened to your life, but the only reason it did not happen was because of the goodness of God and the grace of God in your life. Should have happened, but did not. Because of his goodness, because of his grace. And Paul is saying, I used to be this. I'm not that no more. I'm free from that. Because he not only forgives us, he frees us. Here's what Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says. Therefore, and some of us need this in our hearts, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Do you know who wrote that verse? The Apostle Paul. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm here to let you know that if you are in Christ Jesus, all of your sins have been washed away and you now are made new in the image of Jesus Christ. And here's where it gets gooder. Not good English, but good theology. Verse 2, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, watch this, has set you free from the law of sin and death. And for some of us, your issue is not a forgiveness issue. It's a freedom issue. Yes. You know you've been forgiven of your sins. Yes. But for some reason, you don't believe that you can be free. And you don't believe that you can walk forward. For some of us, you need freedom from guilt from what you did yesterday. For some of us, you need freedom from the shame of what you've been carrying around, things that you did or even things that were done to you. And I want to encourage you that if you are in this place, you are not what you did. You are not your past. These past labels don't define you. It's time for you to let go of past hurts. It's time for you to let go of past failures. It's time for you to walk in the freedom that Jesus came to give you. I want you to write this down. Forgiveness is God saying, I don't hold it against you. Thank you. But freedom is God saying, you don't have to hold it anymore. Woo! I'll say it again because I don't know if you got it. Forgiveness is God saying, I don't hold this against you. But freedom is God saying, you don't have to hold it anymore. Can I ask you the question, what is it from your past that you're holding on to that God is calling you to release? Yeah. Write this down, because forgiveness, here's what forgiveness does. God's forgiveness, it changes my standing with God. But God's freedom changes how I live with myself. And some of us have been forgiven and are walking in forgiveness, but you're not walking in freedom. So you hold so many things against yourself because of what you did. I'm here to let you know whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jesus says in Luke 4 that he came to set the captives free. Some of us are captive to our past. Jesus says, I have come to set you free. Paul was free from his past. Which now leads to this third point. We'll get ready to close. That we need God's future to let go of our past. Because it's one thing to be free of your past. It's another thing to walk in the future that God has for you. So I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse 12. He says this, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointed me to the ministry. Jump down to verse 16. I receive mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. What's so powerful about Paul's testimony is that it reveals that in spite of all he did and in spite of his past, God still had a future and God still had a plan for his life. He says this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 13. We read it earlier. I'm going to keep on reading a little bit more. He says, y'all church, Galatian church, y'all heard about my former way of life in Judaism. Y'all know that I used to persecute God's church and I tried to destroy it. Here's what he says in verse 14. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But here's where it gets good. But when God, have you noticed the trend? That there's so many but God moments in the scripture? But when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart, called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I could preach him among the Gentiles. I want you to see what he says in verse 15. But God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace. Here's what I want you to get. Paul is saying this, that before I had a past, God already had my plan. Before anything that I ever did, God already had a plan for my life. God already had a future for my life. God already had a destiny for my life. God already had a calling for my life. That before I did the thing that was against God's will, God already has set me apart in my mother's womb. God already had a plan for my life. And the reason why that's good news for us today is because it means this. God knew about all the stuff that you and I would do. And yet, he still had a purpose for us. Come on, man. Let's be real. God knew about all the dirt we would do. All the stupid stuff we would do. All the sinful stuff we would do. All the reckless stuff we would do. And yet, he still had a plan for us. He still had a purpose for us. I'm here to encourage some of you who need this. God's future plans are greater than your fractured past. His future plans are greater than your fractured past. And I love what he says. Let's bring this up on the screen, please. Verse 16, he says this. His extraordinary patience towards me as an example. He showed his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. I love what he's saying here. He says, God was patient with me. If we're being honest, God could have took Paul out a long time ago. Fam, he was persecuting the church. I'm not wishing death on anybody, but if God was like, you done, I could understand it. Bro was killing Christians. I mean, God, hey, I trust you. You know best. But in spite of it, God said, I got a plan for you. I'm going to take you from being a persecutor to being a preacher. I'm going to take you from somebody who is causing and all types of that. I'm going to take somebody who's a murderer and turn them into a gospel preacher. I like what the late Warren Wiersbe says. He says, the grace of God turned the persecutor into a preacher and the murderer into a minister and a missionary. Only God can do that. He says, God was patient with me. And the reason why he was patient with Paul was because he had a purpose for Paul. Can I let you know the reason why he's been patient with you and I? It's because he has a purpose for you and I. And all of us, I think many of us who are here, if we're honest, the Lord has been putting up with us for a long time. He's been patient with us. Come on, don't look at me like that in that tone of voice. Come on, let's be honest right here. The Lord has been patient with us. The Lord has been kind to us. He's been putting up with us. Come on, he's been putting up with us for year after year, month after month. He's been putting up with our sin. He's been patient with us and he's been kind with us. Why? Because he has a plan for our life and he has a future for our life. And are there any people here today that can give God thanks for the fact that God has been patient with you and that he's been kind to you and that he's been hoping and waiting and believing to begin to walk in his purpose? I want to invite us to stand to our feet. Look at Philippians chapter 3. There's a powerful scripture there that encapsulates Paul's word, his testimony. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, I forget what's behind and I reach forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I forget what's behind me and I press towards what's ahead of me. Here's what he's saying. It's behind me now. My past is behind me now. The persecution is behind me now. The murders is behind me now. The lying is behind me now. I'm not that anymore. Why? Because any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. And I'm here to encourage somebody. If God can take a persecutor and turn him into a preacher, a murderer and turned him into a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what can he do in your life as well? That it doesn't matter which, maybe the past that you're ashamed of, God wants to get glory out of. Maybe the thing that you don't want nobody to know about, God is like, hey, I want to use it for my glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here in this place right now, I want you to know this. It's time for you to detox from your past. It's time to leave it behind. It's time to begin to walk in the calling that God has for you. To walk in the purpose that he has for you. I speak this over every person in this house, in person and watching online. You are not the lies that people have said about you. The labels that people have placed over your life from a child, God is saying, you are free of that right now in the name of Jesus. That is not you any longer. You are now a new creature. You are not what they said you are. You are not what you did. You are what God has done for you in the name of Jesus. Your past doesn't define you. God's grace does. It's behind you now. The lies are behind you now. The labels are behind you now. The sins of yesterday are behind you now. You are who he says you are in Christ Jesus. And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want you to know this. All this is possible because of what Christ has done on the cross. His blood washes, cleanses, makes new. And if you're here today and you're like, Pastor, my past has had a hold on me, but I'm ready to detox from it. I'm here to let you know the only way you can detox from your past is through Jesus' blood. You need him. Without him, you can't do this. But with him, all things are possible. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, on the count of three, if you're here today and you're ready to let Jesus into your life, you're ready to let him step into your life to cleanse you, to wash you, to detox you, so you can walk in the calling, the purpose, the future that he has for you. On the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. One, today's a day of new beginning. Two, any person in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, if you're here today and you're saying, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ today, wherever you are, just slip up your hand. If you're in this place, if you're watching online, this is for you as well. Come on, wherever you are. For every hand lifted in this place, for every person watching online, if you're here today and you're ready to give your life to Christ, to say yes to him, I want you to say these words after me. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life, that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your freedom, and I receive your future. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate and give God praise for all those who said yes to Jesus today? Come on. Amen.